TV.
Okay, you know I love going over the differences between the two Gospels. I love what Greg Davis said yesterday in the comments, that understanding that Paul has a separate message to the nation was the greatest revelation for me. It made the entire Bible make sense. So many things that were mysteries or seeming contradictions clicked into place, and that is exactly what happened with me as well. I was telling you part of my spiritual history yesterday, and I had always thought there was something different about Paul. I just couldn't put my finger on it. He kept making these outrageous, radical, absolute statements, like always going to the next level, next level, next level. He was just saying some really outrageous things where sin increases, grace super abounds. We have died with Christ, crucified with Christ, blessed with every spiritual blessing. No longer I, but living in me is Christ, seated among the celestials in Christ. It's just one thing after another. But I couldn't put my finger on why Paul was so different. And of course, one of the fulcrum points, and this is what I'm going to talk about today with Mike Hoover's letter from a week ago Friday, one of the fulcrum points, one of the touchstones here is the snatching away. Boy, that's a big one. And again, when I was part of this kingdom movement, the Kingdom Overcomer movement, which Mike Hoover is a part of, clearly, I had given up on the snatching away. I didn't understand it. And Mike clearly doesn't understand it. And there's another guy who answers Mike, named Mac the Human. Where do you hear his comment? I'm going to read it today. As I said, I was a Christian for 3 years, and then I was in the Overcomer camp for about 3 years. When I was a Christian, I believed in what they called the rapture. It was a very clear passage, as we know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. But as I became more spiritually, as I thought more spiritually sophisticated, I belittled the snatching away. I learned how to spiritualize away anything I didn't like, to make scripture say what I thought it should say, to look at people who took the word of God literally. And oh, this is a big deal. Mike looks at everybody, including yours truly, anybody who looks at the scripture literally as just uninformed, unspiritual, carnal, and stupid. And what these guys like to do is they like to get creative. They like to get jiggy with it. They like to get jiggy with the scriptures. They interpret it spiritually. They make allegories. Everything's an allegory. Nothing is what it says it is. This is lazy. I realize that now. I mean, it's totally lazy. You don't have to know any laws of language. You don't have to know any rules of scriptural interpretation. No, that's too hard work. Anybody working that hard to understand what God said to humanity is just unspiritual. But it is these people who are unspiritual. It is these people who are the epitome of soulishness, of emotions, who judge scriptures according to their own interpretation. And they look to prophets. Still, these people look to prophecies, and they look to get into, to them, the rapture is not the snatching away. It's like a Blondie song. It's like they get into a spiritual state, a spiritual trance, and they receive messages, and they read the scriptures very creatively. They think it's spiritually, but it's not. It's soulishly. It's emotionally. It's fleshly. The only way to understand God, unless you take the Bible literally, allowing for figures of speech, you have to understand figures of speech. Unless you do that, you will not come to any realization of the truth. And in his first three paragraphs, there's a perfect evidence of this. And again, I'm doing this to help Mike, not to condemn him, not to judge him. He starts this way. This is a week ago today. These are great episodes, and I appreciate the rich teaching. That's always a good way to start. I couldn't do a podcast myself. I wish the host had done a little more homework on the snatching away, however. I've done more homework on the snatching away for more time than you've been alive, I am guessing, Mr. Hoover. I've looked at it every which way. I've believed it. I've disbelieved it. And then by interpreting scripture literally and understanding that Paul has a separate evangel from the circumcision Israel gospel, I see it more perfectly than ever. You, sir, you're the one who needs to do your homework because you have not done it. You're a one-trick pony. You only see the circumcision gospel. I was there. Like I said, I was there. I thought there was only one gospel. There's not. There's two. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. These are two different messages to two different people with two different expectations, two different sets of beliefs. And it's made so clear. And once you see it, once you understand it, you see it everywhere. And I will just say this as an overview of the snatching away. Mike, the snatching away is not, if you're a kingdom guy, and if you're going to stay a kingdom guy, and if this is your call, and if you have an antenna for the Israel gospel only, and you don't have an antenna for Paul, then you are destined for the kingdom. You will go through the tribulation. It's what you want to do anyway. Oh, folks, the kingdom people want to go through the tribulation. They lust for the tribulation. They want to overcome. They want to prove to God that they're overcomers. That's another phrase. That's another catchphrase. Part of the lingo of this group to be an overcomer, overcoming. A lot of their literature is called Overcomer. I think there's a magazine called The Overcomer. They are so into overcoming, not realizing it. This is what I'm going to be getting into in the next couple days, that Christ for us has already overcome. We have nothing to overcome, and they hate that. They think we're lazy spiritually. Members of the body of Christ, they think they're members of the body of Christ. They're not, not yet. They think we're lazy because we don't overcome. Not realizing, of course, that Mr. Absolute, Mr. Depth, Mr. Height, Breadth, and Length, the Apostle Paul, has announced to us that Christ has overcome all and that we have been given everything and that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, and that all is ours, whether Cephas or the world or life and death, it's all ours. And you're telling us we need to overcome? Bullcrap. Sorry, you're way off. You need to overcome. So just go on and do your overcoming thing. Christ has overcome everything for us. I'm sitting at the top of the heap by no credit of my own. You want to sweat and die perhaps during the tribulation? Go for it, bro. If that's what you want to do, if that's your calling. I'm just saying there's another gospel out there for losers, for members of the nations, for former idolaters who don't know anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not that I don't, not that most of us don't, we do. But in Paul's day, there were many who just, all they knew was Paul. They didn't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they didn't have to. And Paul says, we're destined to be snatched away to take and be taken into the air and to be seated at the right hand of God among the celestials. And they said, oh, okay, sounds good. You, however, can't say that. Why? Because you're carrying circumcision baggage. Because you're reading the Old Covenant. You're reading Hebrews. You're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look, I read all these books too, but they're written for me, but not to me. But you take it as your mail. You're opening the book of Revelation, and you're seeing it as your mail. And you see there that I'm supposed to overcome. Let me tell you how practical this is, Mike. There are two peoples, Israel and the nations. There are two gospels, the gospel of the circumcision and that of the uncircumcision. There are two announcers, two administrators of these respective gospels, Peter and Paul. There are two different destinies for these two gospel people, and it is earth and heaven. And there are two destinies, I should say immediate destinies for these people. You and your ilk, the 144,000, the vast throng, you are going to go through the tribulation. Why would that be, sir? Because the meek will inherit the earth. The Israel gospel is for the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's about the last thing we hear about the heavens. In Genesis 1:1, after that, God is talking about the earth. And he calls out a people, starting in Genesis 10, concerned with the earth. Calls a man named Abram, changes his name to Abraham. And through this man, God's going to bless all the nations of the earth, going to reconcile the earth to God. That's swell. But what about the heavens? There's no word about the heavens. But we know that the heavens are just as messed up as the earth. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the powers and authorities and world mights of this darkness among the celestials. What's he going to do about that? For that, he calls a distinct people, a separate body of people, not the bride company, not the bride of the lambkin, but the body of Christ. And he does that through a man who is out killing the enemies of Jesus Christ, Saul the Pharisee. And he gives this man a message about a body of people who will reconcile the heavens to God. Ephesians 1:10. Colossians 1:20. So if your destiny, Mike, is the earth, why the hell would you be snatched away? So you're right. You know, unless what I'm telling you hits you, and I'm trying to hit you like a freaking freight train, sir, unless this hits you, and you have an antenna you didn't know existed that starts vibrating, say, oh my God, Zender's making sense. This is for me. This has been my gospel all along. That's what happened to me, dude. It's what happened to Saul. Saul was in the circumcision gospel. Then he heard a new gospel directly from Jesus Christ. And from that time forward, it didn't come directly through Jesus Christ. It came through Paul via Jesus Christ. And it's a new message, a non-Israelite message, where you don't need to be baptized, you don't need to be circumcised, you don't need to follow the law, and you don't need to overcome. You don't read about overcoming anywhere in Paul's 13 letters. Where do you read about it? In the book of the Unveiling. Jeez, why do you read about it there? Because that's the book that talks about the final 7 years. I know you don't believe in any of the years, any of the numbers, any of the facts. I know, it's all spiritual to you. But apparently you think overcoming is real. This is curious. I don't know. How do you decide what's real and what's not real? I know, it's all how your mood interprets it. But you have a secret word for your mood, and it's called the spirit. That's not spirit, it's your mood. It's your disposition on a given day. It depends on what you ate for breakfast, or if you had a good night's sleep or not, or what you dreamed last night. I know, I was there, bro. I was there. I was speaking in tongues. I was looking for hidden messages in the Bible, and I dismissed the snatching away as a fantasy. Now I realize it's not for the Israel people. I couldn't understand the apparent discrepancy either, because I saw that there was 144,000 going through, or as Ray Prinzing used to say, going through the tribulation. They're not going to escape the tribulation. They're going through the tribulation. And they're sealed on their foreheads and they go through it. Fact. Yes. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. Because I believe the scriptures. But there's another group of people who are not appointed to indignation. In fact, who are going to be rescued out of the coming indignation. And these are members of the body of Christ. And they are destined to reconcile the heavens to God, because both the heavens and the earth are going to be reconciled to God through the cross of Christ. Colossians 1 verse 20. But as I said, from Genesis chapter 10 to the time of the call of Paul, no one knew anything about this celestial world. It was all about reconciling the earth, and that Israel was for the reconciliation of earth. And man, do you have an antenna for that? And so does your buddy Mac the Human here. Man, it was vibrating off the wall, out of your skull, when you heard about Moses. You love Moses, you love Hebrews, you love overcoming, you love the tribulation, you love prophets. I get it, I was there. But then you hear a different call. Maybe you're hearing it now, I don't know. Or maybe to you, I'm just some smart ass trying to stir up trouble, just some intellectual who takes everything literally. You know, you call it taking the Bible literally. You know what I call it? I call it believing God. I call it giving God credit for knowing what he wanted to say and saying it. God revealed himself in language, and that language is not for you to fuck with. It's to be believed, allowing for figures of speech. Let me continue, if I'm able, with Mike Hoover's post from a week ago. These are great episodes, and I appreciate the rich teaching. I couldn't do a podcast myself. It is difficult. Let me tell you something. I wish the host had done a little more homework on the snatching away, however. Okay, been there, done that. Next paragraph. We, as members of the body, you are not a member of the body of Christ, sir, as of now. Do not look forward to any kind of escape from this world. I'm sorry to hear that, and perhaps you don't. I do. I look forward to an escape from this world. Rather, back to the quote, our emphasis ought to be on overcoming. No, your emphasis. You're of the circumcision, so your emphasis is on overcoming. And then you quote Revelation 3:13. What you mean is Revelation 3:12 here. He who overcomes will I make a pillar in my temple. And then you quote Revelation 21:7. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. Common denominator here, Revelation. What is Revelation? It is a book written by John on the island of Patmos to tell us what is going to happen in the last days of this eon, and it concerns seven ecclesias in Turkey, and it concerns Israelites. Israelites. And I know if you're not a literal Israelite, you consider yourself a spiritual Israelite. I know that because I've been where you are. If I may, can I look up these verses? Here I thought I was going to get to the juicy details of the snatching away. I might still, but let me just finish my thought, what I started there. Why would you, sir, if you are indeed stuck to the kingdom evangel and you're destined to be an overcomer, good luck with that. Why the hell would you be snatched away? So you're right, the snatching away is not for you. But you're not going to take it away from the body of Christ because the snatching away is for us. What do you do with it, I wonder? What do you do with it? Well, I see what you do with it. Later, caught up in the air, bespeaks, quote, bespeaks, being caught up in spirit. The air in scripture is often used to denote spirit. I'm going to show you with the seven occurrences of air in the Greek scriptures that not one of them bespeaks being caught up in spirit. That's a catchphrase. That's part of the lingo of the overcomer group, bespeaks and methinks. I don't know why, but they have this formal, almost archaic way of speaking because they're hot and heavy in the King James Version. And so they kind of talk like 16th century monks, or that would be the 17th century. Thank you for the correction. 17th century monks from the Church of England. Methinks that the air bespeaks about being caught up in spirit. No, it doesn't. Not one time is the word air in the Greek scriptures used figuratively. It's all literal, and I can prove that to you, and I will, because I'm an intellectual. I know you accuse me of being intellectual and being too literal, just like a wise guy, you know, but no, I'm just trying to break through the BS and get to you. That's what I'm trying to do. And anybody else who's looking over your shoulder here, anybody else who's wondered, seeing these, what seem like contradictions in the Word of God, we have one people who are supposed to do law, and yet these other people, they're saved apart from law. We got one guy over here saying that faith without works is dead. We have another guy saying that faith alone, not of works, is the key to salvation, is the way. Not of law, not of works. This guy's saying it is of law, it is of works. One guy's saying there's going to be 144,000, 12,000 Israelites from every tribe going through the tribulation, going through the day of indignation. Another guy over here says there's a group of people going to be delivered out of the coming indignation. One guy's talking about justification, not guilty. Another guy's talking about being forgiven for your sins, assuming your sins and being forgiven for them. But it's only temporary because they can come back on you if you don't forgive other people. Woo! This other guy's saying justified. You're telling me I need to overcome in order to be blessed. Another guy's telling me I already have every spiritual blessing among the celestials while doing nothing. While doing nothing. Not sweating, not overcoming, not being sealed on my forehead, not becoming a pillar in the temple of God. This is what your Revelation 21:7 says. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. Shall inherit all things? I've already been given every spiritual blessing among the celestials. You're a little late to the game, but it's okay. The circumcision's going step by step, by laborious step, step by martyred step, by bloody step. Me? I'm just sitting on the top of Mount Everest with a mint julep, and you can't stand that. I don't have to overcome anything. Christ has overcome everything for me. I'm one of these nations people. Yeah, I'm one of these former idolaters that on Tuesday was worshiping a lilac bush, and on Wednesday I'm pronounced complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. That really pisses off the Israelites, I know. It especially pisses off the overcomers. Because I didn't overcome anything. Christ overcame everything for me. And I'm a new humanity. And I know you don't understand that because you don't understand today. You don't yet understand the differences between being a new humanity and being born again. To Israel, it's a rebirth. It's a regeneration. It's a taking of the old material and making it new. For Paul, it's pulling up the old humanity from by the roots, pronouncing it dead, having been crucified with Christ, and now all things are made new. I'm a new creation as I sit here. I'm a new creation. All things are new. Woo! You're going to drag me down to the book of Revelation and make me sweat? Make me overcome? Why would I want to... Okay, let's go to Revelation 3:12. Why would I want this, Mike? Why? Revelation 3:12. The one who is conquering, him will I be making a pillar in the temple of my God, and he may be coming out nevermore, and I will be writing on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is descending out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the ecclesias. Okay, I have an ear, I can hear this, and I understand it. But my antenna doesn't vibrate over it because this is not my gospel. It's for me, but not to me. The one who is conquering. First of all, you have to conquer in this context in order to be made a pillar in the temple of God. First thing first here. I don't want to be a pillar in the temple of God. And I realize that's not a literal pillar. I mean, it is a person of standing in God's worship service. Why would I want to be that when I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing and I'm a member of the body of Christ, a member of the body of Christ? I don't want to be a member of the temple. I don't want to be a part of the temple. Even if it's a literal temple, or even if it's figurative in that it bespeaks, I'll give you that word here, of a spiritual people in service of God, I'm a member of the body. I'm in Christ and I'm part of Christ. This would be a step down for me. I hate to say that to you, but it's true. This is a step down for every member of the body of Christ. And not only that, but it's not. I not only don't want to be this, and I'm not going to be a pillar in the temple of God, but I have to conquer to get it. It's an if-then proposition. And later in the book of the Unveiling, it says, he who overcomes will eat from the tree in the garden of God. Where is that? It's on the new earth. Oh, speaking of new earth, let's go on here. I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He may be coming out nevermore, and I will be writing on him the name of my God. I'm a member of the body of Christ. All right, I already said that. And the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. All right, as great as the New Jerusalem is, I do plan on visiting it on occasion. But it comes down out of heaven. It says that right here. The New Jerusalem, which is descending out of heaven. Out of heaven. Where is my realm? My realm is inherent among the celestials. It's in heaven, it's above the heavens, seated at the right hand of God. So I'm going to be watching the New Jerusalem descending from an aerial view. I'm going to have the aerial view of that as it goes down to the earth, because I'm going to already be with God in Christ, seated at the right hand of God in power. Already going to be there by the time this city descends from heaven and the pillars are installed in the temple, the human pillars. Surely the 12 apostles will be those pillars. And you might be too. Congratulations on your pillarhood. That's good. Okay. But you better overcome or you're not going to get it. You better conquer or you're not going to get it. So I don't want it. It's not for me. Thanks anyway. I wish you the best if it's for you. Let's go to the other verse. Revelation 21, Verse 7, here's another overcoming verse. The concordance says conquering, but it's the same thing. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who is conquering, I know it's overcoming in the King James Version. He who is conquering shall be enjoying this allotment. What allotment? Well, this allotment, verse 1, and I perceived a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth pass away, and the sea is no more. And here comes the holy city, New Jerusalem, right? Just like what we read in chapter 3, descending out of heaven, made ready for a bride. This is a people, it's a city, but it's also it also bespeaks of a people. I have to admit, that's a pretty good word, okay? Might start using it more, methinks. It speaks of a people. It's as a bride. The city is as a bride adorned for her husband. It's not a bride adorned for her husband, but it is a city as a bride. It is bejeweled. It is bedecked. It is bespeckled. And it bespeaks of the power of God in bringing this city down to the earth. I know, but you don't, I don't know what you, you probably don't believe the new earth is literal. You probably don't believe this city is literal. I don't know what you believe is literal. Why do you believe overcoming is literal? I don't know. Where do you draw the line? Your prophets, I don't know, Elwin Roach, I don't know. And I hear a loud voice out of heaven, lo, the tabernacle of God is with mankind, and he will be tabernacling with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. This is all on the new earth. And so this is the allotment spoken of in verse 7 to the one who is conquering. He who is conquering shall be enjoying this allotment, and I shall be a God to him, and he shall be a son. Shall be. So you don't have this position right now. He shall be a God to him. He shall be a son to me. I'm a son of God now. I'm already in spirit now. I know I'm not literally made into a new vessel yet. I'm still Martin Zander and I'm living in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm not at the right hand of God yet. I'm not glorified yet. I know I look pretty good in my jacket and my sweater here. And I got a new haircut. It's like, yeah, what happened to my personality? I know, where's the hair back here? But anyway, but I'm not now a glorified son of God, but whom he designates beforehand, these he calls also. Whom he calls, these he justifies also. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. Still waiting on the glorification. But proleptically speaking, I am now seated at the right hand of God. It's like, it's a done deal for me. So I'm not, again, I'm not going step by tortuous, martyrous step. I am proleptically finished. I've already, my old humanity has been crucified with Christ. That is actually done. That was done in Romans 6. But I know that you and your ilk don't know anything about Romans 6. You don't know anything about the new creation because you're still wrestling against the old creation. But which is perfect Israelite truth. Israelites are wrestling with the old creation still. They're looking forward to the new covenant. I'm not under any kind of covenant. I'm not an Israelite, you see. And even if I were one like Paul was, he considered his nationality to be as dung. I don't think you can do that. I mean, what's the 144,000 if you take that number literally? I don't know. What's 144,000 spiritual for? What's it an allegory for? 142,800? Like, if it's not 144,000, what the hell is it? 12,000 from every tribe. When God says 12,000 from every tribe, what does he mean? 11,000 from Czechoslovakians? You know what I mean? It's like, how do you decide with your fanciful interpretations? So, I meant to get to the snatching away. You have that, ladies and gentlemen, to look forward to on Monday. I'm going to give you Mike's interpretation of the air. And I'm going to give you Matt the Human, who commented on Mike's comment, what he thinks about the snatching away, and you're going to be shocked about that. And what all this is going to do is, for those of us who have the antenna, and it's been vibrating for many years now, we are going to be established harder than ever, surer than ever, in the gospel of the grace, not the overcoming, but the gospel of the grace of God.